iTunes.
The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Iris Bunshaft.
Good morning, John.
Hi, Iris. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
I haven't seen you in a while. And we're going to go right into our first guest. It is an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to have the District Attorney of Nassau County, Madeline Singus, with us here this morning. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Iris. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. We're just having a conversation. This is a coffee table conversation, mm-hmm. if that's what you call it. But first, I want to go back to what made you want to become a lawyer in the first place. Okay, honestly, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't turn around and say, what am I doing? I'm in college, what do I want to do next?
Yeah, well, you know what? I was pretty sure from a young age that I wanted to go into the law. I liked reading, I always was a great debater, I loved the law. And as I got into law school, which I tell everyone is a great career, no matter what you ultimately decide to do, the law will help you in any venue. So it helps you organize your thoughts. It helps you argue better. It helps you see the world in a different way. So, but I also very much just love the law. I love reading the cases.
Was there some member of your family that influenced you that way?
No, not really. You know, my parents were immigrants from Greece, and they didn't really know what we should do, my sister and I, but their focus was always on getting an education. They very much believed in the transformative power of education. So there was never a question of where. If I would go to graduate school, it was just what kind of graduate school and which one. So that was instilled in us from very young. So I always wanted to do something. No, but I wasn't exposed to many lawyers because that wasn't our circle of friends or relatives. So and then when I was exposed to it, I just loved the pageantry of the courtroom. You know, I loved walking in and seeing the judge and the jury and sides. So that's why I think I became a litigator. That very much
did you
just
take
made an impression
did you
on me.
Did you take acting lessons?
I didn't, but sometimes I feel like I should have.
That's good, Iris.
Well, I say that from a personal point of view that we can discuss afterwards.
Right. I should have.
So then, now you become a lawyer.
Yeah, so right away when I graduated, I went to Fordham. I graduated in 1991, and Fordham was a fantastic place, and very focused on service, you know, that. So, and I knew I wanted to do something where I gave back to the community. So I decided to join the Queens District Attorney's Office. I started in 91 with Judge Brown. He had just started that year as well. And it was, you know, I thought I would be there for a few years, learn how to litigate, and then move on to a private firm. But once I did it, once I stepped into the courtroom, once I represented and really was a voice for victims, I found a true passion. So, and now here I am. 28 years later.
That sounds terrible. Yeah. Queen of them all.
You know, which I can't believe. So I focused in the DA's office at some point in Queens on special victims work and domestic violence work.
Okay. Has it changed much since that time?
It's changed. You know, when we first started a bureau in Queens in domestic violence, people weren't really talking about domestic violence. We didn't really know how to prosecute those cases. And it's changed significantly since then, for the better. People are reporting these crimes.
Were they
crimes
even prosecuted back then? It was more be good and go home.
No, I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago. So, I mean, we were prosecuting the cases. But, for example, if a woman didn't want to proceed with a case, we would just not proceed with it.
Okay.
But now we look to build cases around a woman, you know, because sometimes we understand now that a woman is too terrified to cooperate so we'll do that, and we'll approach these cases almost like we approach homicide cases, where we don't have a victim, We figure out how to use other evidence to bring that case forward. We've trained a lot of police officers working with the police so that they can collect evidence, take these cases seriously, bring these cases to us, and not just say, you know what, why don't you take a walk around the block and
That, we'll cool just stop off. There for a second. Let's go back to that, training the police.
Yeah.
That's very significant versus like, okay, you two be good.
Exactly.
Walk away, say, separate you for a while.
Right.
What's going on? And they say, well, this is an issue here. This is like the fifth time. And I see a mark here. I see something here.
Exactly.
I'm pointing to my arm and my, you know.
Right. Documenting injuries, taking photographs of injuries, talking to the neighbors, gathering
evidence.
Would
an officer, if he came to a home and saw some injuries, would he photograph it then and there?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, I would think that this is something that would scare the oppressor because it's being documented by an officer.
Absolutely. And the message is
that alone.
We take it seriously in law enforcement and we're going to prosecute it and treat it just the way we do every other criminal case. And, you know, must arrest policies and things like that, getting orders of protection.
What is that, must arrest? I don't know.
So if there's a domestic violence incident, the officers don't have the discretion. They have to arrest.
Okay, they have to arrest. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So things like that. So that's what started in Queens. When Kathleen Rice became the DA in 2006 in Nassau County, she asked me to come to Nassau to create the first Special Victims Bureau in Nassau County for me to take charge of that. And of course, I jumped at the opportunity to do such important work and create such a great unit. And I was living in Nassau at that point with my husband and my twins, so it was a very logical and easy transfer for me.
So basically, you took it for the commute.
The commute to Queens wasn't that bad either, but you know, look, I like to serve the community. That
right.
You know, so it was a great opportunity, and here I am.
and we're all lucky that you're here.
Can we segue into the scams perpetrated against seniors?
Yeah. So, well, first I can say that one of the first things I did when I became the DA was create an elder crimes unit, because I recognized that our seniors and our elderly were victimized and are very vulnerable. And I brought in a specialized prosecutor who specializes in those cases so that we can highlight those cases, we can flag those cases. And we also created what we call a multidisciplinary team. So that's a team of professionals that sit around a table like this one, and they involve people from law enforcement, people from the DA's office, people from the mental health community, people from the geriatrician community, people from the financial community. Anyone who touches an elder's life, we gather together in one place, because sometimes the answer is not a criminal prosecution. Sometimes the answer is we have to remove this senior from this situation, so we might have to find them alternate housing. Sometimes we find that there's been financial exploitation, so we bring in financial experts so that they can buttress those bank accounts. Sometimes they need help from the Department of Social Services from the county, so we'll bring in people from there. So we try to holistically surround
to
a
solve
senior.
The problem.
Yes, to solve a problem and keep the senior safe, which is our primary goal. If a prosecution ensues, fine, but ultimately our goal is to keep people safe. So I created that unit. It's doing fantastically well, and part of Arlene, who's the head of that unit, Arlene Markarian, part of her job description is to go out and educate. So you'll find Arlene at senior conferences, anywhere where seniors are gathering. Arlene is there handing out literature.
Arlene's a dynamo.
Isn't she?
God. She's unbelievable.
She's unbelievable.
You should go for the entertainment value.
Yeah,
when
she's
Arlene
fantastic.
Is talking. She's the
she's
best.
She's a good communicator.
Yeah, she's
wonderful.
A fantastic speaker. She's extremely knowledgeable, and she helps so many people. So that's part of our mission, too. A part of our mission is to educate. Part of our mission is to prevent crime before it even happens. Mm. But now to get back to your question.
The telephone
scams.
So
the telephone
scams.
Yeah, so people call up and create this very harried, frenzied atmosphere, and they say
they went to acting school.
Yeah, maybe they went to acting school, right? It's true. And they say things like, your grandson has been in a terrible accident in Panama and they won't give him medical treatment unless you wire $5,000 right now. And if you don't do it now, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Or he's been in a terrible accident. She's been in a terrible accident. And they create this situation where people are like, oh my God. And sometimes they get information from social media, so they know that someone's on a trip. So it resonates with the person when they call in and say, oh, my God, I know my grandson is on a trip. And now they're saying that something happened to them. And in that state, they go and wire money. And these criminals open accounts very quickly. Money's dumped into it, they remove money very quickly and just shut down the account. So if it's hard by the time law enforcement gets involved to recoup that money.
Do the banks see any of this patterning and can they do something about it?
You know, we're actually trained bank officials. We've had training with officials so that they can train their employees to look for these scams. We have investigators that work in our office and investigators and detectives and who work with Nassau County PD that are trained and that have contacts with the bank so that we can quickly contact the money transfer services and see if we can stop that and put a stop on it. But I tell people, if you've been the victim of something like this, you have to call law enforcement right away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get so embarrassed because I've heard that over and over again. I can't believe I fell for that and I'm so embarrassed. And it takes hours before they'll call law enforcement, if they even call law enforcement. And if people don't get to us quickly, we're not going to be able to get that money back because the transfers happen so quickly.
What is the seed that we could put into the senior's head that before they even make that next step into doing something, what should they be thinking about or whom should they call in order to satisfy that there's nothing seriously going on?
Exactly. Well, I tell people to just try to slow down and ask a question and say...
Who do they ask it of?
They can ask of that person. First say, okay, I hear you. Can you give me a phone number and I'll call you back? And then
they click,
they hang up right away because they don't want to get, they're not giving a phone back, a phone number to call back. And to listen carefully to what it is that they're saying. Are they mentioning the person's name or have you given them your grandson or granddaughter's name and now they take it and run with it? Call right away to your, you know, daughter or whoever might have information about your grandchild and verify that they're actually out of the country or they're in danger. Chances are they're not. You know, I tell my elderly relatives, if they don't recognize the number, don't answer the call. And that way, the person, if they need you, will leave a message. Mm-hmm. Check your messages
Still, they're so...
But I say if you see a number that you don't recognize, just don't answer it. And if it's important, someone will leave a message and you can get back to them. Mm-hmm. Because that just avoids the whole issue entirely. You know, but these people are getting very sophisticated, too. And what they do is spoof the numbers. What that means is they'll get, like, my phone number and they'll be able to show that it's coming in through Madeline Singus when it lights up. But it's not me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're doing that,
so
you know,
I'm
some computer crimes.
Daughter's calling or something. Okay.
You know, so that's a whole other level of crime that, again, we're working with federal authorities.
I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah.
That's much more serious.
Yes.
Because your name is in the newspapers and so on and so forth. So it's not...
It wouldn't be Madeline.
The person. Your daughter, or someone that you think you know, or that the area code is familiar, or the exchange is familiar. So if it's coming, it'll be a 516 number, and a 627 number if you think it's coming from the Manhasset area, something that you would recognize and
but
pick up.
But it also come from Mexico, I have found.
Right, but
very
repeatedly. No, but that's what I'm saying. They put a fake number that looks like a number that you would recognize, but they're out of the country or they're somewhere else entirely. Mm-hmm. So, again, the warning is to just ask them for a callback, to just slow it down, and if they have been victimized, to call law enforcement right away, to call their banks right away so that they can stop that transfer. There's no need to be embarrassed. You know, lots of people, very smart people, have fallen for this. But it's a matter of getting us the information quickly so that we can act quickly.
Okay.
Actually, we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, and we're talking with the Nassau County District Attorney, Madeline Singers. We'll be right back.